Thank you for the introduction. My co-investigators and I are all members of eMedics International, which is a small NGO composed mostly of emergency medicine physicians associated with the SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn, their emergency department. The organization is focused on promoting educational exchange as well as fostering improved access to emergency care globally. We've been working in Haiti for more than 5 years. Since preceding the earthquake, we've had a presence in the Northeast Department of Haiti. I have nothing to disclose. So this project, the Involved Citizen Project, is sort of a culmination of some of our experiences both in Haiti and in the region, specifically in the Northeast. Several of us, being emergency practitioners, worked in Port-au-Prince in the state hospital after the earthquake, where we found that the fancy, expensive materials that are easily accessible to us in the United States were not available. But we also found that there are a lot of other options, locally available materials that can be used, particularly in providing first aid, that if people knew about it, could do a lot of good. You see here a couple pictures that we have splinting bone fractures with cardboard boxes and fabric. We have a stretcher made of rice sacks and bamboo and towels to immobilize the head. These are some examples of ways that we kind of worked in the environment. We also have done some research in the Northeast and have found that in the healthcare facilities, so the clinics and the hospitals, emergency care capabilities are limited by our standards. There's no pre-hospital emergency response that is happening right now or accessible to people right now. And at least one of the hospitals that we investigated, people arrive there either on foot or via motorcycle taxi for their emergency care without having received almost any pre-hospital care. I think one or two people went to a natural healer first. So there's some limitations to accessing emergency care. Another issue is the infrastructure in the region. So there's one main road, and communities that are remote from that road for the foreseeable future will not be accessible by four-wheel vehicles, particularly after rainstorms. And so an ambulance service is not in the foreseeable future going to be getting there. So we wanted to come up with a somewhat low-cost project aimed at bringing more emergency care to communities themselves. And so we looked at a train-the-trainer model as a way to have community leaders be training their community members and have just an overall health literacy increase as a result. We thought that drivers are a potential important link, so professional drivers of motorcycle taxis or tap-taps, regular vehicle, four-wheel taxis, are a potential link because they're frequently taking people to the hospital. If they knew how to safely stabilize patients that they're bringing into the hospital, this could potentially have a positive impact on morbidity and mortality. We're fortunate to have very strong partnerships in the region, and every part of this has been member checked, and we've gotten a lot of advice from our partners on how to approach this. These partners helped us to come up with a geographically diverse cohort of recruits who are involved in our program. So these trainers, we went to different community leaders that were identified by our partners. We asked them, send us some of your community leaders who have the skill set to be trainers, who are going to be around for a while, and who you think would be interested in this kind of project. So recruits that were sent our way tended to be either, there was a few drivers, a few seamstresses, a few tailors, some teachers, some church leaders, some physicians, and some nurses. So kind of a diverse set of people. And the curriculum that we set up for them is a two-part curriculum. So there's the didactic part and there's a practicum part. The didactic part is one where it's a first aid curriculum based on using locally available materials. We found a paucity of resources available in Creole, so we made a manual and got that translated into Creole. It's very picture heavy because of the differing levels of literacy. So, like this woman with the sling, that's one of the photographs from the manual, trying to model the correct way to use the materials and also prompt ideas. The manual also has, for the trainers, some teaching points, so how to teach it. So it's a reference for them. And the curriculum is meant to be a very hands-on curriculum, that you're teaching people the muscle memory of how to do it, how to splint, how to carry safely, how to immobilize, how to stop bleeding, all these things, that there's a lot of participation from your students. And then it culminates with a disaster drill where they had to carry us around, and we could help with that. And then the teaching workshop was the second part of the didactic curriculum, and that's really focused on teaching those skills. So once you master the skills, how do you teach the next set of people? The practicum, our ongoing trainings that are now being led by our trainers. So our trainers, we are still there. We are still there to kind of ensure some of the fidelity of the material, and we're also evaluating them to see are you ready to do this on your own. So they're training their own community members, and then we have this matrix of criteria that we set up with our local advisors and partners, basically to write out what is the criteria you need to master in order to be a trainer. So that means you have to understand the topics, you have to understand the basic science behind it, be able to demonstrate the physical skills, and then also be able to teach those skills. So it's kind of a strict criteria, and we found that even with this very developed matrix, we ended up still saying, you passed all of it, but maybe you're not ready. So there's also a subjective component to that. And so between our Haitian partners and us, at this point, we're still at all of the trainings, but we're phasing ourselves out. Great. So initially, we recruited 35 people from the Northeast Department of Haiti, and put them through the didactic curriculum. We did some surveys, immediately after the initial training, and then 6 months later on a follow-up survey, people said they were engaged and they wanted to complete the curriculum to be trainers. They also said that they felt that the material was relevant to the emergencies that they face. 100% of people said they understood the concepts and that they felt ready to lead an emergency response. And what to me was most remarkable was that at 6 months out, 50% said that they used their skills on emergency responses. The post-tests, we did some pre- and post-tests that were fraught with issues because we were finding pre- and post-tests to be challenging for language and literacy reasons, but we did see an improvement over time or through the course of the curriculum. 80% of the people who came to the first training completed the didactic curriculum, and then 60% were still involved with us at a year. So that was actually better than we were expecting. Of our trainers that we retained at a year, 71% of them have now graduated and are expected to be able to host a course on their own with just some logistical support from us. So far they've trained 214 community members. 20% of those are drivers, and we're thinking that at 2 years from the first training, they'll have trained 300 people. There have been a lot of challenges, and this has been a dynamic project. we had the bare bones set up at the outset and have been trying to figure out to work with differing levels of expertise and health literacy. One challenge that we've come up with is that Creole is a spoken language traditionally, and that there's a lot of dialects. So getting a good translation, even with reputable translators and back translators, there's still sometimes challenges in getting the point across and getting the information that we're trying to get. We tried doing some reading our surveys out loud and having people mark things. We've tried phone surveys. Phone surveys, we worry about getting biased results because it's our administrator making those calls. And so when we say 100% want to continue working with us, are they just saying what they think we want to hear? So we've been working on trying to find some different ways to ask questions to try to get some useful feedback for how we can improve this in the future. We tend to come and do these crash courses. We really want to be able to do the curriculum in a day. And so we've had to sort of adjust that curriculum to fit within those constraints. Communication, of course, is a challenge through multiple languages and intermediaries. We worry about how do we pay our staff. We don't want to Haiti already has been so impacted by the NGO presence, and that's interfered with the economy so much that we worry about inflating artificially the economy. But we also want to show that we value people's time and effort, so we've been trying to find that sweet spot. And then just trying to make sure that the quality remains high, that the materials remain correct and correctly taught down the line. So we will continue to logistically support, but also check in on these trainings and make sure that they remain robust. So at this point, we have our trainers who are conducting these community trainings within their own communities. They're focusing on trying to make sure that at least some of their recruits are drivers, professional drivers, either motorcycles or tap-taps. We are working with our trainers to make sure they're having review sessions and that they stay current with the material. And we're working with the public health department in hopes of having this merge or have a role in ongoing developments towards having an actual emergency response team. So none of this would be possible without our Haitian partners, who have really been very dedicated over many years to making this project work.
Thank you.
Thanks. And that's my email if you have any questions.